Years ago, I was visiting in the hospital downtown in the cardiac unit, one of our parishioners who was having heart trouble and having some difficulty. And I visited with him and read the scriptures with him. When I got through, I didn't feel good. And as I passed the waiting room out there, I thought to myself, you know, I ought to stop and catch my breath here before I go on. That was the last thing I remember. I woke up looking in the face of a doctor, and he says to me, "That was very considerate of you to have a heart attack here in the hospital." Even in the cardiac unit, you know. Yes, well, it wasn't as serious as he had thought, and I have recovered. And it still reminds me of how the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, we sometimes think it's odd that we wind up where we are or in the situation that we face, but always God's care is with his people, invariably. There's never a time that he abandons a sheep anywhere. And so my theme tonight is fear not. Too many believers look at life through fear. Now, they're worried about this, that, and the other. What if this happens? And they're always on pins and needles. And that is not the appropriate biblical response to life. Fear should have no place in the believer's life. You are not an abandoned sheep. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is your shepherd, and he is looking after you, and he is caring for you. Specifically, he's guiding you. And all of us need to remember that and lay that to heart. If you have your Bibles, will you turn to Genesis chapter 15? Abraham is a great example of God's care for his people, even in the midst of dangerous conditions. And you know the story of Abraham. I'm not going to rehearse different things. There was plenty that he had to fear. Surrounded by enemies, in the midst of a land that was not yet his, and it was disturbing for him. In chapter 15, verse 1, the text says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now, that's a tremendous statement. It is a revelation from God. And very clearly, it was given to Abram because we need it. It's recorded in Scripture because we need it. Far too often, we look at circumstances and we're just ready to throw up our hands and say, "Oh, what can we do?" Sometimes there's no good thing that we can do, but there's a great deal that God can do. And that must be the believer's faith all the time. We do not just rush into danger. We do not just rush blindly down the pathway. We are following his leading. He is the shepherd. And we are the sheep. And he is leading us oftentimes in pathways that we don't fully understand, sometimes that look fearful. But they are not, because he is there. The shepherd knows much more than to lead his sheep into a dangerous situation that he cannot deal with. And so all of us must be aware of this, whatever our circumstances may be, that God is with us, that he is the shepherd, and that we follow his directions, walking day by day in his presence, seeking his guidance, and following the leading of the great shepherd. Now, in this text, Abraham had defeated Chedorlaomer and the other enemies, and that's in the preceding chapter. But now, Abraham is faced with various trials and difficulties, and it's easy for him to panic as being just a small shepherd in the midst of surrounding nations that were very hostile to him. But all that he needed was God. And the text is very clear at that. It didn't matter where Abraham was. If God was there, he was entirely safe. And every believer needs to have that sense that it does not matter about your surroundings, providential events, whatever. If God is there, you may relax and follow along as the obedient sheep follows the shepherd. And we know that theoretically. The problem is, it's often easy to forget that in the midst of various trials and circumstances. But we must remind ourselves of what the Lord says to Abram, "Fear not." That is certainly his promise for all of us. If we may turn to Genesis chapter 22, this is the scene in which Abraham offers up Isaac. And in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now there's a remarkable statement that he gives there, that Abraham's simple life of humble obedience before God was something that God appreciated. He loved to see, and he gives Abraham promises that last to the end of time. And yes, his descendants are still among us. His descendants are still in that land. And God is not through with them. He is going to accomplish his purpose. There's yet going to be a kingdom reign for the Jews on this earth, the great millennial reign. Friends, we look forward to that, not merely because we're going to be there, we're going to be with the Lord, but the reign, the public triumph, is something that God deserves. He has oftentimes been crowded out of the lives of people upon earth, but the day will come when he will be supreme on the earth. The victory is going to be here, not just somewhere else. And that's a comfort to us all. We are not on the losing side. We are on the winning side, because God is going to triumph completely. And all his people, whether it is the church age saints caught up into his presence, or the Israeli saints during the millennial reign, all are going to experience the triumph of God. And the conclusion of this earth is going to be one of triumph of the Lord over all his enemies. And this earth, by his grace, is going to be preserved into the eternal region. He is going to triumph from this place forever. It is not going to be written off as merely an ancient monument. God is great. And he says, "Fear not." Now that should change things for us. We don't look at life with the eyes of mere human thoughts. We look through the eyes of faith, recognizing his promises, realizing what he is going to accomplish, and we may be sure that he will not fail. He will accomplish in everything that he has said, all of his promises to his people. In Isaiah chapter 41, dropping down to verse 10, the prophet extends words of comfort to his people. Verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Consider what he is saying there. He is extending his infinite powers to weak and frail people who have no ability within themselves to accomplish the eternal purpose of God. But God has that power, and he can impart that to his people. And so he assures his people, "Fear not," for the reason that God is with them. Who can harm the person that God is protecting? It's a very short answer to that. No one. And it's evident that for every believer, we must not look with the eyes of fear at circumstances, accidents, so-called. Whatever happens in this realm is permitted by a good God, for our well-being, and we may be assured of that. There are no things that can happen to the believer in the will of God that he cannot order according to his perfect will and accomplish his purpose through them and cause the believer to triumph. Now, we may know that theoretically, but oftentimes when various things happen, we forget and we push the panic button. And what'll I do now? Sometimes there's not a thing we can do. But there's a great deal that God can do, and we need to train ourselves to think of the Lord first. Here's a situation, Lord, that I don't know what to do with. Lord, give me wisdom. That's the best prayer. Or here's a situation that looks dangerous. Lord, what shall I do? Well, the Lord knows. He can provide the protection. And that is what we must learn as sheep to do. When you think of the image of the shepherd guarding the flock, the sheep don't get together and figure out what they're going to do. They have to simply follow the shepherd. And many times in life, all of us are in that same position. We can't just solve our problems. We can't just get together and decide, here's the way. God knows the way. And we follow. And that following puts us in God's care. And he never abandons his sheep. Now, we must recognize, friends, that this life is enemy territory. We're going through the area where the devil can reach God's people. Temptations surround us. Evil people would like to tear us down from the pathway that we are traveling. But always the shepherd is with us. There's never a time that you are alone in this life. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, he is with you day and night, all the time. He is able to sustain you. He is able to guide you. He is able to take his word and illuminate that word to you so that you find the comfort, the strength, the courage that you need, whatever that may be. And we must learn how to draw all of that from him and from his word. In chapter 41, dropping down to verse 14, the Lord speaks, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Now, that's kind of an odd expression, isn't it? Thou worm. Now, he's not just insulting Jacob, but he's speaking very candidly. When we consider a worm, it's a rather low form of life. We uncover one when we're digging in the garden and so on. Worms are good for the plants, so we pour some dirt on him and wish him well. That's fine. But now the Lord is putting us in that category of the poor worm, unable to protect himself, a poor creature, totally dependent on God. You don't generally think of animals that way, but that's the truth. The worm can't provide for himself. And we're all in that category, spiritually speaking. The Lord has to provide for us. He has to defend us. When you consider the multitude of things that could happen to us, we're sitting ducks. But not really, because we're in the Lord's presence. The Lord is looking after us. And we need that sense of his presence with us all the time, every day, so that we recognize we're not going through a wilderness alone. You are never alone. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, he is with you. His presence is guarding you. You may walk with courage and faith, for he has never lost a sheep. Now, friends, we need to have that within us. Too often we look at circumstances and panic, and that is not the appropriate response. We may look at the most difficult of situations with the eyes of faith, recognizing the Lord has led us thus far. He has a perfect will for us through and beyond these circumstances. He is fully able to take care of us, no matter what we face. So, friends, these verses are in Scripture to instill into the believer the confidence in the Lord that we should have. And we know these promises are there deliberately. They are there to encourage God's people, but we tend to look at the problems instead of at the person who is the solution to all our problems. And we must learn to do that. Don't look at the things that the devil suggests. Here's a terrific problem. Here are enemies. Here are things you can't solve. The devil loves to do that and have the believer just ready to panic. No, God tells us, open the scriptures. Start reading. Let him, in his word, impart to us the courage, the wisdom, the guidance that we need, and go with faith, confidence in him, not in ourselves, not in our own wisdom, but in his wisdom and his grace and his loving compassion. He has never failed a single sheep, and we must be sure of that. In chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Now, that text to the ancient people of Israel is one that every believer may take courage from. Here is the way God views his people. Now, they are not sheep left abandoned on the hillside to fare for themselves. No, he is leading his sheep. He is caring for his sheep. His presence is their protection. And so for everyone who knows the Lord Jesus as Savior, every time that difficult circumstances arise, now that should be your thought, that the Lord is here, that his grace is sufficient. He is fully able to take care of every sheep. He has not lost a single one ever in the history of the world. He is not going to lose you either. Fear not. That's the word. And so for all of us, we must take courage at these things and not go through life timidly, worrying about this and worrying about that. For some believers, worrying is their prime pastime. And that should not be for any believer. Trust. Be confident in the Lord. And recognize that he is fully able to take care of every sheep. You are no exception. If you belong to him, he is going to see to it that you arrive at the fold right on time, according to his will, and he is going to see to it that you travel the pathway just as he wishes. So, fear not is the statement that keeps recurring in Scripture, because the dangers are there. The difficulties are there. We are going through hostile territory in this world. We all must understand that. And our defense is not our wits. It's not our strength. It's not our wisdom. We are not sufficient for any of these things. But he is. And it's his wisdom and his guidance and his blessed word that gives us the assurance that he is leading us, guiding us, and he knows exactly the best pathway to take. We can't choose one that is better than his. We must seek his will, his path, and walk humbly behind the shepherd. This is our blessing. If we may move to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he's assuring them of his presence and his guidance. Matthew 10:28. The Lord Jesus says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now here is his candid reference to the power of his heavenly Father. Don't fear those who all they can do is kill the body. They would promote you to glory since you belong to the Lord. They can't touch your soul. Now, that's very clear. They're not able to kill the soul. So, don't fear the devil or all his hosts, because they can't take away from you that salvation which God has imparted to your soul. If you are a saved person, You are secure in Christ, not in yourself. You have no strength or power this way, but He does, and He's the shepherd. So don't fear these people. Fear has no place in the life of the believer. Now, he goes on to say, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. The lake of fire is what the wicked fear, and that is very just. If they don't know the Lord as Savior, if they are not traveling His pathway, then they are in terrible danger. But for the sheep who belong to the Lord, walking humbly that pathway is a sure way of arriving home, because that is what He is leading His sheep. He is leading them toward Himself in glory. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 7, the Lord says, "Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And the illustration that the Lord has given is the worth of a sparrow. Now, that's very little. In the ancient world, and they're still in the Mideast, we'll eat sparrows. We think that's an awfully small chicken to pick on. But this is something that they do. They will catch small birds like that and cook them and eat them. There's not much, but there's something. And so this is what he is saying here. You're of more value than many sparrows. Don't worry about that. He prizes his people. He cherishes those who walk his pathway and seek to please him. So he prizes your faith. He prizes your devotion to him. He is not ignorant of the struggles you have to go through. He is prepared to lead you through all of them. He is not going to abandon you in any aspect of your life. He is fully able to supply you with everything that you need. In courage, in strength, in wisdom, he has it all, and he can impart that to his people. So we should walk in confidence, not arrogance. We don't pick our pathway. We choose his. We open up his word. We ask him for guidance. We seek his pleasure, and he gives it. His word does guide us and impart to us the wisdom and guidance that we need day by day. And we may be sure that he never fails. In John chapter 12 and verse 15, the word is, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." And there is the curious example of the Lord in a situation of humility, but still the king. Now, we must recognize that oftentimes the circumstances we are in don't remind us of a royal palace. And we haven't arrived at the destination yet, but we serve the King. And he is able to bring his people into his presence, into his kingdom, and accomplish his will through them. And so as we look at circumstances around us, we must never be intimidated, because we are children of the heavenly King. He is fully able to accomplish his will through us. So fear not, little flock. Yes, in this life we are a minority. There are people all about us, more powerful, politically savvy, all kinds of individuals who can direct things according to worldly purposes. But they don't know the God of the universe. And we, his flock, oftentimes get intimidated by the things that happen about us, and we should not. God is still on the throne, and he is allowing all these things to take place because he is guiding everything toward his end. His end is going to be cataclysmic. There is going to be world war on a scale that we have never seen yet, and that's an awesome thing to think of. But he is able to conquer, and none will be able to stop him from accomplishing precisely what he wishes. There's going to be a rapture. His people are going to be pulled out before the tribulation period. He is going to bring his people, the Jewish people, through that tribulation period. He is going to establish them in Jerusalem again. There's going to be a great kingdom reign. The scripture tells us all of these things. And none of that is difficult for him. He knows precisely what he is doing. And everything is running on schedule. The clock is ticking. So, friends, we have nothing to worry about. Circumstances should not intimidate any of us because God is on the throne. He is guiding all things, not just a few things, all things, to his intended climax. So the believer can walk by faith, trusting God. You may not understand the circumstances. You may not understand the things that have happened to you. Don't worry about that. You don't have to understand them. You do need to walk humbly with God. Open his scripture. Listen to his words. Let him guide you through the scriptures, for this is what he does. The book is given to us that it may provide direction, comfort, strength in times of difficulty, and all of us have need of these things. So, search the scriptures. The Lord has commanded it. The book lies open before us. This is the pathway of drawing in the comfort, the strength, the encouragement that the believer needs day by day. The trouble is, we live in a busy world, and it's all too easy to decide, well, I have to do this, I have to do that, I don't have time to read today. And that's a very, very dangerous decision. You have time for God, because he has time for you. And should you forget that, you're in terrible trouble. We need to put God first and see to it that every day we open this book and drink deep at the springs, the water of life that flows from the pages. We need the strength. We need the guidance. We need the wisdom that comes from this blessed book. And we must not think that things and circumstances are so busy, so hectic, that we must forget about this book for a little while. That is a very dangerous temptation that the devil likes to present to God's people. In Revelation 19:11, we come to the close of this present dispensation. And when the dispensation is ended, John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, diadems. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now this is the second coming of Christ in glory. This is the close of the human life that has been upon earth for all these ages. He is going to come back. He is going to settle forever. Who rules this world? He does. His enemies will be consigned to the lake of fire. His people shall inherit all things, and there will be total victory and triumph. That is what God's word teaches. We are not on the losing side. We're on the winning side, because we know the King. We don't know the timing. There are many events that must happen before that happens, but we know how it's going to end. It's going to end with the Lord on the throne, and all his people, remember that, all his people will be part of that victory and will share in the triumph of the great King. You are not going to be left behind. You are not somehow going to be abandoned here or there. Circumstances now should never intimidate any believer. We have his presence. We have his assurance in Scripture. And we walk by faith, not by sight. The victory is sure. He has said so. The victory is going to be total. There will be no enemies left. He is going to triumph over all things. And his reign is going to continue for all eternity. We serve a great God. We serve a loving Savior, and his word to us is, fear not. Fear should have no place in our lives. We walk by faith. We trust him. He will keep his promises. He will accomplish his purpose. He will triumph over every foe. We may be sure of that. Friends, He has all authority in heaven and earth. He is fully able to accomplish the will of His Father. He is not going to forget you. He is not going to leave you behind. Every saint may walk with confidence in this life. We may not understand the pathway, but He knows exactly what it is. He is fully able to carry you all the way through to the end in triumph. Friends, our attitude toward life should be very positive. We know the Savior. We follow the great King. He is going to triumph. And fear has no place in the life of the believer. Faith crowds out the fear. We trust in Him, His Word, His grace, His compassion. And we may be sure that that faith is not misplaced. It is in the great King who certainly is going to triumph. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, perhaps there's someone here who has been worrying, troubled, fretful over circumstances. Now is the time to put that on the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You are able to accomplish your purpose. Here it is, Lord. Whatever it is I've been worrying about, take it away and give me faith and trust and peace in Thy presence. O Lord, Thou dost see the needs of Thy people, and we pray that Thou wilt give the assurance, the calm trust in Thee that every one of us need. We pray that Thou wilt help us to walk day by day in Thy presence, with Thee, along that path that Thou dost direct. Give us grace, give us wisdom, sustain us, Lord, and bring us all the way home as Thou hast promised, into Thy presence and into that glorious kingdom which is to come. Help Thy people to walk with Thee day by day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.